Okay. If you would, turn to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And I want to begin reading in verse 17. Sorry, I had lines across my paper. Right where I was going to read, too. Exodus 33 and verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. I'm just going to stop right there. There was a relationship between the Lord and Moses. Now, when you go back to the beginning, you will see quite clearly this relationship was initiated by the Lord and not by Moses. He appeared to Moses. He saw a burning bush that spoke. He spoke to Moses. There was this relationship. And actually, it's kind of summed up here in chapter 33 in verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. But it says that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. There's a relationship here. Again, instituted, initiated by the Lord with Moses. Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. Abraham was called a friend of God. David was a man after God's own heart. Paul was the apostle of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, taught by Jesus Christ. But it says here, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. There's a fellowship here. There's a relationship here. And we have the record in writing of some of this relationship. And this is one of the instances here. And it's singular. You don't see this anywhere else. But the Lord granted this to Moses. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but we have no record of it if it did. We don't know what Enoch and God did when they walked with God. He pleased God. That's what it says. That's all we have. But here we have this record here where Moses asked him. In verse 33 and verse 17 is the response of the Lord to Moses' response to his question. Moses said, actually, where is it? Let me read it, because it's just before this. I don't want to. In verse 14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses responded to that, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. If God is with you, you're with him. And if you're not with God, it doesn't matter where you are, because you're not with God. Don't let me go anywhere without. That's what Moses was saying. Keep me with thee. If you're not going there, I don't want to go. Lead me. And this is a man whom God spoke to as a man speaks to his friend. I don't want to be without God. I don't want to go anywhere without God. Don't carry us up hence. Don't send us away from you. Moses left it up to God. You know how rare that is today? For anybody to leave anything up to God? Walter and I mentioned it. We were talking about something else, but it always hits me. It's a quote when Henry Mahan was talking about Romans, about people going about to establish their own righteousness, talking about his brethren. There's a lot of going about today. People are going about to do this for God. People are going about to do that for God. And people aren't saying, if thou don't go with us, don't let us go. Yeah. You understand? We are trying through preaching to reach others. But if God doesn't go with us, we're not going anywhere. We're using a radio broadcast now. We're on the internet, on YouTube. We've got our website. We're on sermon audio now. Haven't heard a response from any of them, hardly. We have had a few from the website in times past, but nothing recently. But this is the whole thing. If God doesn't bless it, it won't be blessed. But if the truth is preached, it is blessed.
Amen.
Because the response is totally up to God. Whether it's positive or negative, either way. Moses left this up to God. Believers are kept by the power of God through faith. It's His power that keeps us. And I believe Moses knew that. But God told him, I will do this thing that you asked. I will do this thing that thou hast spoken. But he told him why. For thou hast found grace in my sight. Now let's be clear, there's no way of earning grace. Grace can't be bought, grace can't be purchased, grace can't be gotten. It is given. But he told Moses, you have found grace in my sight. And in a couple of verses, he's going to tell us how it comes. It's given. But then he says it in this way. And this is exactly what he said to Noah. Thou hast found grace in my sight. In the Lord's sight, because his sight is the only sight that matters. You can be the finest man around. And I can think the world of you. And you can be the best person I know. And I can have confidence in everything you tell me, but that's not going to do you a bit of good. It's in His sight is the only sight that matters. It's exactly the same thing as when the Passover happened. And when He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I was reading, starting to read a book. Basically a bit of a commentary on Exodus. And at the very beginning of it, this fellow was saying that the main story of Exodus, the main lesson from the book of Exodus is this. Without blood, there is no salvation. And that's true. If there is no blood, there is no salvation. But I will tell you this. The main lesson of the Passover is without blood, there's death. With blood, there's salvation, yes, but without blood, it's not that there's just no salvation, it's that there's death. But it didn't matter what Moses saw, it was the Lord's sight that mattered even. And then he says this statement, you found grace in my sight, I know thee by name. People don't think that's an amazing thing. People don't understand that is grace, that God knows your name. There are those that don't understand when he told Moses, I know thee, I know thee, I know thee by name. The religious world makes this nothing, because God knows everybody and God loves everybody. They generalize everything. Oh, well, God loves everyone. No, he told Moses, he says, I know thee by name. This is a special relationship. But all of God's relationships are special. If he's got a relationship with you, it's special. It's actually miraculous, if you want to know the truth about it. It takes a miracle of grace. It takes the work of God. It takes the conscious will, purpose, and decision of God. Christ told some that, well, he told us that there were some going to come to him one day. And they're going to say, hey, we've done many wonderful works, marvelous works. We've done miracles in your name, Lord. And he's going to look at them and he's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. The Lord told Moses, I know thee by name. There's a difference there, and the difference is God. Christ told him, depart from me. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Christ told us. The Lord told Moses here, my presence will go with thee. I will give thee rest. And then verse 18, Moses said, and I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me your glory. Show me your abundance. Moses wanted to see more of the Lord. Do you? Moses wanted to know more of God. Do you? He wanted to see more. He wanted to know more. So what did he do? He asked. He asked. Do you want to know more? Ask. Do you want to see more? Ask. The Lord is, you can look through these scriptures. I have never seen a place where somebody actually, sincerely, truthfully, in the Spirit, in grace, asked God for knowledge of his Son or himself, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, and it not been answered in the positive. This book is full of teaching of him. And Moses asked. And what does it say? It does say, ask and ye shall receive. But here's how God answered him in Exodus 33 and verse 19. He said, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Moses said, show me your glory. Show me your abundance. Show me your splendor. And the Lord said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. God is good. God is all good. And God is nothing but good. And God's goodness is part of his glory. He says, I'll make it pass before you. I'm going to show you something, Moses. But it starts with my goodness. Now, of course, there is no sin. There is no error in the Lord. Everything is, he is good. Understand, he's good. Christ said it to that rich young ruler. when that rich young ruler came to him, and the first thing he said was, "Good master, what must I do to be saved?" Christ looked at him and said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God." Paul said in Romans 3, "There's none good, no, not one." He was talking about people. But God is all goodness. And what's the word goodness here is translated, it means good things. It means the best. It means the beauty of something. God is telling Moses, "I'm going to show you my best, my goodness, my good things." What you say next? "I will proclaim the name of the Lord." The Lord is jealous over his name. The Lord guards his name. Excuse me. His namesake is why he said, there's a lot of places in the scripture, I wrote a few of them down here, that he does things for his namesake. For his namesake, that he's going to proclaim to Moses. Psalms 23:3 says, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake." 25 and verse 11, still in Psalms, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." These are the prayers of David. Do this for your name's sake. "Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins for thy name's sake." Nevertheless, this is Psalms 106 and verse 8, "Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known." "Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word." This is Isaiah 66 and verse 5. "Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed." You may be cast out and hated for his name's sake, but let the Lord be glorified. It'll happen. You may be cast out by your friends, by your family, by everyone you know, but if it's for his name's sake, that's also glory. That's part of God's glory. "And let him be glorified, and he shall appear to your joy and to their shame." I think there's a couple of things you can find in the Gospels where it says believers are hated for Christ's name's sake. Christ said it. "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." It's Matthew 10 and 22. Matthew 24:9 says, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you," speaking to his disciples, "and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." That's the glory of God. Declare his name. "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved." That's in Mark. Luke 21 and verse 17 says, "And ye shall be hated of men for my name's sake." Don't be surprised when people don't care about what you want to tell them about Jesus Christ or about the Lord. They'll hate you because of what you say. They'll hate you because of his name. the next two words are before thee. The Lord doesn't do this for everybody. The Lord doesn't do this sort of thing for everyone. I'm going to make my goodness pass what before thee. Where's the rest of the house of Israel? Where's the rest of the congregation? This is for Moses alone. This is for you, Moses. I'm going to do this for you. Why? Because I know thee by name. Thou hast found grace in my sight. And then he answers his own thing there. And I and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Now this word gracious in the Hebrew literally means to bend or to stoop in kindness to an inferior. Can you fit in that category? Can you fit in that category? The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as he, just like a man speaks to his friend. But the Lord is infinitely superior to Moses. It is a gracious thing. It is to bend, to stoop in kindness, in favor to an inferior. And beloved, that's what we are. We are inferior. And if you don't know you're inferior, you don't know the Lord. Because he'll show you. Grace, by the definition of the word, comes down. You can't be gracious to your superior. Okay? You owe your superior. I am not gracious to my boss. I am subordinate, or supposed to be. Grace comes down to an inferior. The less is blessed of the better. This is the way it works. Because the superior, that's the Lord, has all the power. The superior has all the gifts to give. To whom does the Lord show his grace, this unmerited favor? To whom he will. To whom he will. Grace comes down to the inferior according to the will of the Lord. And that's the only way grace works. And that's what he told Moses here. This is the statement of grace. The very first time the word grace is used is when it says, Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Okay? Now we're here talking to Moses, and he says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Where is any qualification there met by man? There isn't any. There isn't any. He gives us a qualification. It's his will. That's the only qualification. It's his will. It's not our will. When it talks about those who are born of God, they're born not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, not of the will of anybody, but of God. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. That's what he told Moses. And then he goes on and clarifies it even further, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Again, the only qualification here given is the will of the Lord. Now this word mercy, when I looked at the definition, Walter, first thing comes up, it says to love, to love deeply, to be compassionate in love, to have mercy, to have tender affection. God will be gracious to whom He will be gracious. And God will show love, will love, deep love, to whom He will love. God's compassion, God's love, and God's mercy is bound to God's will, just like His grace. And it is mated to. You'll see it here with this. There's no compassion without God's graciousness. There's no compassion without grace. There's no mercy without grace. There's no love without mercy. And there's no mercy without love. Well, for everyone that God loves, He gives grace and mercy. And that is according to His will. And what's the conclusion of all this? Well, in Exodus 34 and verse 6, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and in truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation." But there's one last verse I want to read. This is verse 8. "And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped." What is the result of God's grace, God's mercy, God's goodness, God's glory? You're going to bow to Him. You understand? This was one of the most glorious things that had ever happened to anybody on this planet. Amen. The Lord passed by. He said, "I'm going to do it." Then He did it. And boy, why didn't somebody, "Ooh, what a great thing, I feel, see the Lord." That's what they do on television. That's because they haven't seen Him on television. They're lying. Because if you see the Lord, you're going to do what Moses did. You're going to make haste and bow down. You're not even going to slow down. You're not going to be, you're not going to be contemplating it. What is the awful wonderfulness of God? No, you're going to hit the ground. What did Isaiah say when he saw the Lord? "Holy, holy, holy." He said, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I'm stuck a bunch of people with unclean lips." This is the reaction to seeing the Lord's goodness and grace and mercy. You bow down. You submit yourself to your superior, because you know, you see this, you are inferior if you see Him. "I am merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and in truth. Mercy for thousands." How? "Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." If your sins aren't forgiven, you don't know what mercy is. You don't know what love is unless your sins are forgiven. And Moses didn't shout and jump for joy. Moses made haste, bowed his head, and worshiped the Lord. The Lord showed Moses his glory and declared to Moses his glory. The Lord God is good. The Lord God is gracious. The Lord God is merciful. To some. I got to throw this in here. I'm sorry. Keeping mercy for what? For thousands. There's a limit. It's particular. However you want to say it, it doesn't matter. The Lord does not do this for everyone. And that's what he told Moses right here. And he made a point of saying it, so I'm going to make a point of saying it. Because the Lord God said that. What is salvation? I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Because the Lord's grace is particular. The Lord's mercy is particular. And the Lord's forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin is particular. It is to whom he will. And I don't think we really understand how wonderful this is. I know I don't. I wish I did. But how marvelous this is. How miraculous this is. Because the Lord's justice is for everyone. He is just. The Lord of all the earth, the judge of all the earth, shall do right. And it says it here, I will by no means clear the guilty. I already had this written down, Walter, before we talked on the phone. The Lord is always just and full of justice to everyone, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. The only escape from that is forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. He is always holy. He is never not holy. I don't know how you say that. The Lord can't even look upon sin. And he is holy to everyone and everything, whether you know him or not. He's always just. He's always holy. He's always truthful. Never spoke a lie. There is no error in him. And the Lord is always glorious, whether we see it or not. The same goes for his justice. The same goes for his holiness. Whether we know it or not, he's always that. And he's always that all the time. But he is gracious and merciful to whom he will. You understand? God has limited, and I, for lack of a better term, limited his grace and his mercy to whom he will. He is not gracious and merciful to everyone. That's what he's saying here. His justice is for everyone. You're either going to be judged in yourself or in Christ. That's the way it works. Justice has got to be satisfied. His holiness has got to be what? Met. I'm holy, be ye holy. But his grace and his mercy is reserved for those only according to his will. Whom he will, the Lord will save. The Lord God, the Adonai Elohim, said, here is my glory. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. This is the second book of the Bible. And here this truth is laid flat out. God saves some. God saves some. And he saves whom he will. I don't think God's changed either. I'm the Lord, I change not. He hasn't changed. He never will change. So what's true in Exodus was true in Genesis. What's true in Exodus is true in what? Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the New Testament. And I'm telling you something, what's true in Exodus is true now. Concerning the Lord and His grace and His mercy and His goodness. Like I said, you can go back further. It said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You can come forward to Paul's time. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He will be gracious to whom He will be gracious. He will show mercy to whom He will show mercy. And the less is blessed of the better, according to the pleasure of His good will. His will. His will. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Our God is in the heavens right now. He is doing whatsoever He hath pleased. He is working everything according to the purpose and the plan and the will of the Father. It's happening now. There is no difference. God's goodness, God's grace, and God's mercy is given to whom He will. And that's the facts. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time, this place. But most of all, Your Son who came and purchased His people. Your Son who came and fulfilled every prophecy about Him, about how He would come, about what He would do, and then what He would accomplish, and about His return to You, our Lord. Thank You. In His name we pray. Amen.